Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. We read the verses 13 through 21. Hear the word of God. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, for centuries, philosophers and theologians and religious thinkers have tried to answer the question, why are we here? What is life all about? What is the purpose and the meaning and the priority of life? Concerning this latter question, some say that our priority in life should be to have fun and to enjoy all that this world has to offer. After all, it is said, we only live once. Others say our priority in life should be to fight for fairness and equality and tolerance and so-called social justice. Still others say our priority in life is money. The more money you make, the happier you will be. But Jesus gives a very different answer to that question. According to the Lord Jesus, our ultimate priority in life should be to love and to serve and to glorify God. Now, this is the exact point that Jesus makes in the parable that we have read together, the parable of the rich fool. And it's to this parable that we turn our attention with God's help today. We're going to consider this parable under the theme, the urgent priority of Christ's kingdom. And we'll consider, first of all, what it is not, and secondly, what it is. It was the third and final year of our Lord's public ministry. The Lord Jesus was in Perea, the region to the east of Judea. And he was making his way to Jerusalem, where he would be crucified. And while he was there, a large crowd gathered around him to hear him speak. Luke informs us in verse 1 that the multitude could not be numbered. There were so many that they were trampling on one another. Well, after the crowd settled, Jesus proceeded to teach the people some rather solemn truths. The first 12 verses of our text chapter, he taught them, for example, to beware of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He taught them to trust in God for all things. He taught them about the certainty of persecution. He taught them about the danger of denying him, and also about the sin against the Holy Spirit. He taught them many things, solemn things, serious things. And at one point, Jesus was suddenly and rather rudely interrupted. Luke tells us that a certain man in the crowd asked Jesus to arbitrate between himself and his brother who refused to divide an inheritance with him. Master, he said, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now, it's not clear what this man was asking for exactly. Some say that his brother was acting unjustly, taking not only his own portion of the inheritance, but his brother's portion as well. Others say the man himself was acting unjustly. And that's because the law of Moses clearly stipulated that the elder brother in the family would receive a double portion of his father's estate. And so it's possible that this man was jealous of his brother, and he was asking Jesus, as it were, to change this law and to oblige his brother to divide the inheritance in such a way that they would both receive an equal share. Well, whatever the case, Jesus refused to get involved. "Man," he said, "who made me a judge or a divider," or we could say arbitrator, "over you?" By asking the man this question, Jesus was making it clear that he had not come to act as a judge in civil and legal matters. That was the task of others. He had come for a very different purpose. He had come to save his people from their sins by offering up his body as an atoning sacrifice. That was his purpose and nothing else. Now it's clear from this exchange that this man had a problem. And his problem was covetousness. He believed that happiness was to be found in material things. The more material things he had, the happier he would be, or so he thought. Materialism was his idol, and Jesus knew this. And so after dismissing the man's complaint, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said in verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Jesus here is issuing a solemn warning against covetousness. Covetousness is that insatiable desire for material things, not being satisfied with what you have been given, always wanting more and more and more. And he warns us against this. And he tells us why in verse 15. "For a man's life," he says, "consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Jesus here makes it clear what is not the real meaning of life. He is saying that life is not about accumulating material things. Now, to be sure, we are material beings, and as such, we need material things. We need food and drink and shelter and clothing. Without these things, we will die. But his point is, we are not to find ultimate meaning and satisfaction and fulfillment in these things. Why not? Well, because these things cannot meet our deepest and most fundamental need. Nor will they ever satisfy. King Ahab had everything a man could want and desire, but he wanted Naboth's vineyard. And he was not happy until he got it. The same is true for us, my friend. We so often think, if only I had this or that. If only I had a nicer car, a nicer pickup truck. If only I had a bigger house with a nicer property and a view. If only I could have this or that item of clothing. If only I could get this or that toy. If only I could make more money so that I could afford certain things that others have. Then I would be happy. But it's not true. Jesus says a man's life consists not in the abundance of things he possesses. In other words, life is not all about making money and accumulating stuff. Nor can material things give us ultimate joy and meaning and satisfaction and fulfillment in life. Anyone who thinks that they can is in great danger. And to illustrate and reinforce this, Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the rich fool. Now, the setting for the parable can be found in verse 16. Jesus says, "He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Jesus here tells us of a rich man. Now, how this man became rich, we don't know. From what we can gather from the parable, he was either a farmer or a wealthy landowner. Consequently, it's likely he made his money from the land that he farmed. But whatever the case, one year this man had a bumper crop. He had never had such a crop before. It was so plentiful, he did not have room enough in his barns to store it all. Now, what a nice problem to have. Imagine having so many riches that you did not know what to do with them. Well, that was the case with this man. His barns were not big enough to store his harvest. And so what did he do? Well, Jesus tells us, he thought within himself. Specifically, he thought about what he should do with his plentiful harvest. Jesus says he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." We learn here that riches bring their own problems. Never think that the richer you are, the less problems you will have. In fact, the exact opposite is the case. More often than not, the richer you are, the more problems you will have. You not only have to decide how to spend your money, you also have to know how to invest it. And there are challenges and difficulties with each option. And that was also the case here. This man had a problem. He didn't know what to do with his plentiful harvest. And then suddenly he hit on an idea. And he says in verses 18 and 19, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Now, at first glance, this seemed like a very good plan. After all, he couldn't very well allow the harvest to go to waste. That would be unstewardly. And so, of course, he should build bigger barns. And what would be wrong with retiring early? Isn't that what we are told today? Start saving for your retirement when you are young. Work hard, invest your money, so that you can retire early and enjoy life. Is this not enjoying the fruit of our labors? Doesn't even the Bible in Ecclesiastes, for example, and in other passages tell us that we may do exactly that? So in theory, this seemed like a fairly good plan. But my friends, what did God think of this plan? You see, it's never good enough to know what I think or what others think about our plans. We ought to be, first of all, concerned about what God thinks. And so what did God think? Well, God did not think it was a good plan at all. For after hearing what this man said, and knowing what he was planning to do, Jesus says that God spoke to him. Now, probably this was in a dream or a vision of some kind. Whatever the case, God spoke to him. And his words are recorded for us in verse 20. "God came to this man and he said, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?'" But notice that God calls this man a fool. According to Proverbs 26, verse 5, a fool is one who is right in his own eyes. He relies on his own wisdom and his own understanding rather than on the wisdom of God. And such was this man. He was a fool. Now, why was he a fool? Well, I can mention at least six reasons. First of all, he was a fool because he believed he would live for a long time. You notice this man declared that he had much goods laid up for many years. Evidently, this man believed he was going to live for a long time. But the Bible teaches, and experience also confirms, that our lives are but a vapor. We live for 70 or 80 years at the most, and then we fly away. In fact, sometimes we are taken away when we are quite young. But this man did not seem to understand that. He thought he was going to live for a long time yet. And that made him a fool. Secondly, he was a fool because he did not understand the needs of his soul. But notice that this man addresses his soul. The soul is that immaterial aspect of a man, that part of a man that never dies. And he said, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." It appears this man had no idea what were the real needs of his soul. He thought that his soul would be happy and satisfied with material things. But material things can never satisfy the soul. Only God can do that. But this man did not understand that. And that made him a fool. Thirdly, this man was a fool because he did not take into consideration the needs of others. You notice how this man resolved to bestow or store all of his fruits and all of his goods. Not once did he think that he should give even a part of it to anyone else. Never once did he think that he should give some to the poor, some to the widows and to the orphans, and some to the temple services of God. No, he resolved to keep everything for himself. He was motivated by pure selfishness rather than love to God and love for our neighbor. And that also made him a fool. Fourthly, this man was a fool because he banked on uncertainties. He banked on the fact that next year's harvest would be as good or better than this year's harvest. Otherwise, he would not have decided to build bigger barns. But that's not necessarily true, is it? We know from experience that years of famine often follow years of plenty. He also thought that by building bigger barns, he would be able to relax and live free from care. But again, experience teaches us that the exact opposite is the case. Those who expand their businesses often find that the bigger their business grows, the more work they have and the more worries they have. In some cases, it's better to stay small and have fewer cares and worries than to expand and have more. What is more, there's no guarantee that these barns would serve their purpose long term. They might burn down or be blown down by a fierce storm, leaving the man with absolutely nothing. But this man didn't seem to understand that, or he didn't want to understand that, and that made him a fool. Fifthly, this man was a fool because he was utterly self-reliant. He thought that everything depended on him. How many times in these verses does he not say, "I will do this or that. This will I do. I will pull down my barns. There will I bestow all my fruits. I will say to my soul." It never seemed to dawn on him that all of our plans depend on the Lord's blessing. James addresses this very truth in James 4, verses 13 to 15, when he writes, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." You see what James is saying? He's saying when planning for the future, we must submit all of our plans to God. All of our plans are subject to His will. But again, this man did not seem to understand that. He believed that everything depended on him, and that made him a fool. Sixthly, what made this man a fool was the fact that he had a wrong view of the purpose of life. For after he built his barns, he intended to eat and to drink and to be merry for the rest of his life. But my friends, that's not the purpose of life. The purpose of life, the very reason why we were created, is not to eat and to drink and to be merry, but rather to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This man seemed to think that the purpose of life was to enjoy himself. But in this he was sadly mistaken, and that made him a fool. And my friend, God despises fools. And consequently, He told this man, possibly in the same vision, that that night his soul would be required of him. It's interesting, isn't it, how this man thought that his soul would live for many years. But God said that very night, his soul would be required of him. He would die and go to hell. And so Jesus says that is the end of all those who lay up treasure for themselves and are not rich toward God. You see the point? The point is, happiness and meaning in life should never be sought in material things for the simple reason that they don't last. And that's precisely what God said to the rich fool, isn't it? For after informing the man that that night his soul would be required of him, God asked him this question, "Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" His point was, you spent all of your lifetime accumulating more and more and more wealth, but when you die, you can't take any of it with you. It must all be left behind and be divided up among those who never worked for it at all. And since that is so, do not try to find happiness and meaning in material things. My friend, you'll never find it there. Well, you say, where then can it be found? What is it that really matters in life? What should be our priority? That brings me to my second point. Rather than find meaning and fulfillment in material things and in the things of this life, we must find it in God. Because only God can provide us with that which has lasting, eternal value. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus said this. He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Well, my friend, do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, do not pursue after anything that this world has to offer, because nothing that this world has to offer will last. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. It's either eaten by moths, corroded by rust, or stolen by thieves. And so rather than pursue after and find meaning and satisfaction in anything that this world has to offer, we should pursue after and find meaning and satisfaction in the things of the kingdom of God, because the things of the kingdom of God will last forever. And Jesus expresses the same thought here in our text. In verse 21, he speaks of being rich towards God. What does that mean? How can we be rich towards God? Well, we are rich towards God when we put him, rather than material things, first in our hearts and in our lives. Now, I admit that's not always easy to do, for there is so much in this life that detracts our attention from God. But when we put him first in our hearts, when we put him first in our lives, then he makes us rich. He forgives us our sins. He bestows on us his Holy Spirit, who takes up his abode in our hearts. He gives us the gift of everlasting life. He causes us to sit with Christ in heavenly places. He prepares for us a mansion in heaven. He makes us rich, far richer than if we possessed all the wealth that this world has to offer. Now, but maybe someone says, but did you not say earlier that we are material beings who have material needs? Yes, I did. Well, then you say, how can it be wrong to pursue after material things? Do we not need material things for our survival? Did Solomon not direct our attention to the ant who gathers his food in summer so that he may have enough to provide for his needs in winter? Should we not do the same? Yes, indeed, we should. We should indeed save our money as much as possible. We should indeed save up for our retirement. But the point that Jesus is making here is that we should not set our heart on these things, nor should we worry about them excessively. This is the point that Jesus makes in the verses following our text, in verses 22 through 31. In these verses, Jesus exhorts us not to worry about things like food and clothing and other material things. To reinforce this, he directs our attention to the ravens, which neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet, he says, your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he directs our attention to the lilies of the field. The lilies, he says, neither toil nor spin, and yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. His point is that if God feeds the birds of the air and clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more feed and clothe us? The answer is obvious, isn't it? Of course he will. Therefore, we need not worry. Rather than worry, rather than be preoccupied with material things, Jesus tells us what we ought to worry about. For he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Oh, do you see what Jesus is saying to us? He's saying that if we put God first in our hearts and in our lives, we will be doubly blessed. We will have not only treasures in heaven, which will last to an everlasting eternity, but we will have everything else that we need as well, everything else pertaining to our bodies. And so I ask you, do you want to be rich today? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be fulfilled in life? Jesus tells us how. Be rich toward God. Find joy and meaning, satisfaction and purpose in him. And what riches there are in God, my friend. When we make God our priority in life, then God the Father will provide for us. He will protect us, and he will preserve us in his care. God the Son will save us from our sins and give us the gift of everlasting life. And God the Holy Spirit will apply to us all the riches and all the benefits of Christ and make us new creatures to love and to serve and to glorify him with our whole heart. When we are rich towards God, then we are truly rich, richer than the richest person on earth. And therefore I say to you today, look to him. Those who do will never be disappointed. They will have everything they need for this life and especially for the life to come. And unlike the riches of this world, which are here today and gone tomorrow, the riches that are ours in Christ will never be lost. And we who are in him shall enjoy them to an everlasting eternity. Amen. Dear friends, we are always pleased to hear from our listeners. If you were blessed by the message you have heard today, or if you were blessed by previous messages on this program, won't you please let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. And Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N. And that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our denominational website at banneroftruthradio.com. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.